Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, the NBA playoffs are getting good. That games are getting competitive. Western Conference, Golden State is pretty much taking control of that series with Portland, and they've done so in the last two games without Kevin Durant, who has been sidelined. And then in the last game, they did it without Steve Kerr, who the illness has still not been told, to my knowledge, has still not been out there publicly what's going on. Go ahead.
You know he had the bad back, right?
Right.
Man, this back might be acting up again.
Yeah, and well, I think it has something to do with that just complication, because he did allude to the fact on Twitter, you know, for people who have to have back surgery, you know, basically, I pray for you, because, you know, complications can arise, and I think just about everything that can happen has happened to him in his recovery.
So they don't need him. They'll be fine without him. And what's his name? He don't coach in the playoffs before.
Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm. So they'll be fine. They'll be Kevin Durant right now. They can just rest him, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what's a good luxury to have. You know, the fact that they don't have to play him right now. They can rest him up, let him get good and healthy. Because coming down the pipe, even though I still believe they're going to come out the Western Conference, they got some challenges. And this is the other part I like about the playoffs. The playoffs, you know, I actually tune in a lot more, and I actually see teams that might necessarily be on the West Coast that play later in the evening, and I don't necessarily see during the regular season. I already knew this about this guy that I'm about to speak on, but in the Spurs Grizzlies series, Kawhi Leonard is special. He went on a stretch to kind of force overtime the other night where he scored 16 straight points, and not one person on Memphis' team could do anything about it. I mean, he was just lighting them up. I mean, it was something special to watch. Memphis winds up winning the game in overtime, and, you know, that's beside the point. But, I mean, Kawhi Leonard, I can see why now you got a lot of people out there saying that, you know, he's the next one up as far as superstar. He's the best all-around player after LeBron.
Well, until he get out of San Antonio, ain't nobody going to talk about it.
So. No, because he just going to be a zombie and be the Spurs way there.
Right.
Game of Zones reference fan.
Please go to Game of Zones and watch it on Bleacher Report. It's hilarious.
It's coming out. There's a new episode every Thursday throughout the playoffs. You will enjoy it. Over on the east side, you got Boston evening up the series with Chicago. Rajon Rondo being out the last two games has really helped Boston. It's, you know, kind of freed up Isaiah Thomas, because for all Rondo's flaws, he has been very, very disruptive defensively against Thomas and the other guards for Boston this series. And with him out, and, you know, he's even destructive, you know, being out on the bench, because he tries to
Running around tripping people. Yeah. I don't know. That's so foolish. And that's all it is.
Well, with him being out, Boston's able to come back and tie the series up 2-2. I said it to a couple people yesterday before that game started. Whoever wins this game is going to win the series. If Chicago goes back goes back up 3-1, they're going to close it out. But now that Boston has tied it up, I think Boston has a good chance to go ahead and finish this off.
Boston don't expend too much energy in this series, though. And they need to go ahead and finish as quickly as possible.
Physically and emotionally.
Right. Cleveland, though, they're about to have some rest time. And Lord knows how this next series is going to go. Even though Cleveland didn't just run through Indiana.
No.
They gave up too many points, in my humble opinion. They need to learn how to guard somebody. But, you know, whatever, they probably going to win. I don't see them unless they... Everybody seemed to be having an injury, so unless they have a major injury to one of the big players, Lil Irvin or LeBron, they'll win.
Yeah, that was my next place I was going. I was going to talk about them sweeping Indiana, but more so, not. I mean, obviously, like you just said, that's going to give them a lot of rest, and Cleveland be ready to go for whoever they got in the next series. But more so on Indiana's side, a lot of people are already pretty much envisioning Paul George and the Lakers purple and gold after this sweep. And you being the resident Laker fan, how would you feel about having Paul George aboard?
I don't know. You can't be running around talking about you need the last shot and throwing your little teammates under the bus counter.
And honestly, like, it didn't show that it caused them any kind of strife, so that must be good on, you know, their coaching staff. Nate McMillan and them must have a good handle on things, because he literally was calling teammates by name.
Then he said, and I told, what's the guy that blew him LeBron's ear?
Lance Stephenson.
I told Lance Stephenson, because we knew that was going to double. I told him to flash to his nail, but he didn't do it. I was like, oh, Lord, he's just throwing everybody under the bus. But those are older players. We got youngins. You don't know how younger players are going to take that.
Yeah, I think if Paul comes, somebody else got to come with him. I feel like you can't just have one veteran guy come in like that, superstar, with all them young cats. You got to get Magic in them, got to pull some.
Well, my concern is that they might take a gamble with Carmelo.
I honestly, the more the series keeps going the way it is in Boston and Chicago, I think Carmelo's eventually going to be headed to Boston.
They could have got him or, what's his name? The dude that played for the Butler.
Jimmy.
Like, remember, talk to them.
The word is that Jimmy turned, like, wasn't going to have that. Like, now he don't have a no trade clause in his
contract. Well, that's what he would have been gone.
Right.
How about that? How about you don't have a no trade clause, and typical people say whatever, but then when they get to the team, they realize, oh, Boston ain't that bad.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see where all those dominoes fall as the offseason gets here. With basketball.
What's his name? Still got one more year, though.
Who was that? George.
Oh, yeah. He won't be going nowhere till next summer.
That's why I feel like it's everybody talking about him being in purple and gold. Y'all still got one more year of him being in Indiana, because LA's not going to trade any of what they have to get him.
Knowing that he want to come there, we can wait and let the youngins grow some more.
Correct. I mean, they even if they had him next year, they still wouldn't be that much better.
We'll be just good enough to keep us from getting in the top five, which is not what we want.
Well, staying with basketball, but moving over to the women's side, there was a blog post to come out, and I sent it to you, entitled, it was on prettyaccomplished.com. I saw it because someone shared it on Facebook, someone I'm friends with, just because the girl who wrote the blog post is from my area. She's a high school player from here and wound up going to college over at East Carolina, named Dana Jones. Title of the article, the blog post, was What They Don't Tell You About Playing Overseas. And while she highlights the good, in her mind, the good things as far as competition, being able to say you're a professional, things like that. She highlights a lot of the what she perceived as being negative. And I know you had a chance to read it. And for our listeners, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. If you want, check it out, prettyaccomplished.com. And it's like the third blog post down once you get to the website. Or if you just want to type in the title, what they don't tell you about playing overseas, it'll come up in your search engine. But I want to slip of the tongue. I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you actually played overseas for a couple of years before you joined the working force.
Well, that was working force. All of us are members of the working force unless you're unable to work because you're disabled. Just a little side note, people. When they say workforce, that's anybody that's able-bodied. Like, unless you can't work, then you're not a member. Whether you're working or not, you're still a member of the workforce when they do the numbers. Anyway.
And she completely shuts me down. Anyway, moving on.
I'm being like Paul Jordan throwing you under the bus. And now that we got that established, it's all in how you take it. You're not over there mostly, unless you don't play it in the WNBA, or they can say that you got some kind of WNBA credential, whether that you played for 10 seconds, went to a tryout, whatever. You're just going to be over there for the experience. You're not over there to make money. Like, you're not, typically you won't get rich again unless you playing in some of these bigger countries like Russia and some places like that. I went over there for the experience. You can't be nobody that's like she said in the article, she wished she could have took somebody with her. Now, some guys do that, but typically they are playing on bigger teams that can afford to accommodate, like putting up your wife or whatever, and, or a spouse, partner, whatever. Right. I say why. But I don't know. Nobody else want to leave America just to come and sit and babysit with you? Because they're not going to have anything to do.
Right.
Like, while you practicing, while you can go to the gym, while you might want to hang out with your teammates, whatever it is, they're going to be sitting either just watching you all the time at practice, unless they happen to be able to play, and then the coach might let them get out there and practice with y'all or something. But other than that, like, the team typically will pay for your meals. Like, I had I could go to this a restaurant and eat meals, and I don't know that they're going to do that for your partner or your family or whoever. So then that's just going to be money coming out of your pocket trying to feed somebody else just so you can have some company. I don't know why she... You got to know when you go over there that you ain't going to know nobody. Because when I went, I was the only American, and then you typically find a male that play for the men's team, because they used to have one American. Like, Tressel was the guy when I went to Switzerland, and I hung out with him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would just get on the train and just ride the whole train up and down the line and just kind of see how the people lived, where the train was going. I would go for walks or whatever, but I read a lot, practice. Hang out with your teammates, like, and get to see how the other culture lives. I don't know what really she expected. What did she? I wasn't clear on what she thought that they didn't tell you.
Yeah, she didn't clarify herself very well, honestly, in my opinion.
Because it's up your agent job is to make sure you're getting your checks, and that if you ain't getting paid, it's his or her job. To be like, well, when Christmas comes, my player's going home and not coming back. Right. Or, you know, they can make arrangements for you to leave earlier because they know you're not getting paid. But yes, that does happen where people, they don't pay you. But you got to remember, these are club sports. Where in America, we have, like, high school basketball. You could be playing on a team with some kids that are in high school because it's a club sport. And if the club think that they get enough to play, then they'll put them on the team.
You said something about, you know, and I know you and I have had this conversation before, so this is really why I'm asking. You talked about riding the rails and, you know, seeing how the culture was there. How much of that was a plus for you? Did you enjoy going out and seeing the sights and, you know, experiencing another country like that?
I loved it. Like, Switzerland, the country I happen to live in, was the home of the Olympic Museum. So I went to that and walked around. We went to Geneva. I enjoyed it. It's all in how you, what perspective you have. If you think you're going to live some kind of NBA lavish life, that's not going to happen. Like, they're going to put you in a flat. Again, they're going to make sure you eat. And you are in control of your physical activity, because typically, yeah, they're not trying to run you to death. Now, I was on one team in Sweden where we did quite a bit of running, but other times it was just, you know, you just make sure you stay in shape. They had me a pass to a gym. I could go anytime I wanted, and I did spend quite a few hours in the gym just to break up the monotony of my day. But then once you get over there and find your rhythm, find the TV shows that come on, you make your little schedule, and then you live your life.
Yeah, I don't know if her article was meant to dissuade people who might be thinking about going overseas, but I just feel like if you go over there with the right mindset, and like you said, if you're not one of the people going to the Russian teams, the China team, people right. where the big money, the WNBA players are playing, the big superstars in that league are playing, go over there with the right mindset of you're continuing a sport that you clearly love, or hopefully love, if you want to play it. You know, you're playing professionally. You are experiencing another country, getting to go overseas where a lot of people, you know.
Most people won't even leave America. Let me rephrase that. Most people
don't
even leave their state.
I was just about to say that. They won't even leave. I mean, I know I've been around people who have not even, you know, left their state before. They're, when they came to, using Ole Miss as an example, because that's where I've worked. When they came to Ole Miss, we've had players who had never even left the state other than to come to Ole Miss. Like, say they were from Alabama or, you know, neighboring states like that. They never even left their state before. And here we are about to put them on an airplane, going here, going there. And, you know, just it's a whole different experience for them.
I mean, there's people that haven't left their city. I was working with a person in Nashville, and we was talking, and they was like, oh, because I had mentioned about going to Atlanta, coming from Atlanta. They was like, oh, I want to go to Atlanta. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, Atlanta is about 3.5-hour drive from here. Why wouldn't you just get in the car and go? Like, this person had a vehicle. They also had a job because we were working together. And it's like they had never really left Nashville. And I was like, okay. So you have to take it for what it is. You're not going to get rich, but it's better than being at home and working at some fast food restaurant or Lowe's or Home Depot or something and just staying at home in your comfort zone when you can get the experience of going to another country and playing basketball and making a little money. If you get a chance to go overseas, don't worry about the money. Go for the experience and get a good agent so that they'll tell you all the stuff and they'll make sure you get paid and won't send you. Because agents know the countries that are typically atrocious for not paying. Like, they know those places and they usually shy away from even dealing with those people. So maybe she had a bad agent.
Possibly. Do you have a chant and rant for this week?
I do. I feel like, and I don't know enough about this situation. New stuff keep unfolding about my Gator, and I know that people say he murdered, you know, he was found guilty of murder, but they're appealing it, and now because of the state and law that Hernandez has killed himself doing an appeal, now that is like null and void. The murder conviction. People, stop all these accusations when somebody can't defend themselves. Now it's like, oh, is he gay? Did he kill dude because he was a homosexual? And the guy said he was. No.
I know. I know what you. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then, like, oh, well, did he murder Alden because he was going to out him? And then now did he kill himself when he was in jail because somebody else was going to out him? Now he's gay love on suicide watch. He can't defend himself. Let's not even go through this. because we don't know. I wish he had written a book, because it probably would have been quite interesting and a bestseller. But yeah, that's what I'm chatting and ranting about. And they do it all the time when people die. They start bringing up all kinds of stuff and be like, okay, we could have discussed this when they were here, and they possibly could have said, no, that's not the case at all, or whatever, but I can't.
What's the movie with Chris Rock, Martin Lawrence, what they're all brothers and their daddy dies, and it's Death and a Funeral, I think.
Yes. The worst movie ever.
It's a remake of an old, you know, obviously it's an old classic, but it's but I love it when it comes out at the funeral that their daddy...
That daddy was homosexual.
Yeah, with the little midget guy. Okay. I'm sorry, that's politically incorrect of me, you a little person.
Yes.
Gotta be
a small person. Gotta be PC
in this world. Even though I meant no harm. I'm sure I'll get it in the comment section next week.
That'll be all right.
Yeah, that sure will. But my Channing rant has to do with the fast food industry. This is something that I have been on before, and I will be on to the end of time. I don't care if people think I'm right or wrong. You should have to have a high school diploma to work at a fast food restaurant.
Oh, no.
I know what anybody's going to say. Would nobody be working there if that was the case? But you know what? I'm just sick of the ignorance. And not all places, and I will get to that. There is one place, high and mighty, who always does an excellent job. But I'm going to speak specifically about my experiences here recently at the place, and I'm not gonna call it their name, but it has. It's alluded to in Coming to America and
McDonald's.
McDonald's, and they have a mascot that is a clown. But that's all I'm gonna say about it. I'm not gonna call it by name. So I go to this establishment, which, you know, I've had this exact same thing happen to me multiple times, so I already know what to expect. I pull up, I order my food. I have a special order because I don't like onions, so I ask with no onions. And best believe if I see that the burger has, you know, cheese on the burger and you can tell that the onions have just been peeled off, oh, I'm coming back in. And we're going to have a problem, which has happened multiple times. But that is not my case today. What I'm chanting and ranting about this fine morning is I get to the first window where I pay. The girl says, that'll be $6.53. So all I have in my wallet is a 20. So I had 53 cents in the car, so I gave her 20 and my 53 cents. This girl looked at me like I had three heads. She was so confused. She said, oh, it's only $6.53. And I said, yeah, I know. She proceeds to try and
get your 53 cent back.
Not just the 53 cent. She proceeded to give me the 53 cent, plus she done broke the 20 up. And she working overtime. And I'm sad because just plug it in. Just please plug it in into the little cash register. It's going to tell you what to give me. It's
going to give me my $14 back. Stop playing me. Yes. I don't want no change. Okay.
And then after that debacle, I get to the second window, and this all never fails. I love it. I love it when it happens. Get to the second window. What did you have? I said, well, I know it's up there on your screen, but this is what I ordered. They gave it to me, and the order was not correct. There was onions all over the sandwich. It's almost like they were putting extra on there on purpose. So, yeah, had to go back, deal with that. There was another situation at the same place, the same establishment, where I think I was with my father. And, you know, he was calling in the order, and they came back, and the girl on the other end, she clearly didn't hear him, or, you know, this was her response. Huh? How you say, huh? In the drive-thru. I said, Lord, this is not off to a good start. But, yeah. But they, like I said, I'm going to end it on a good note because there is one place who has always been correct, never had a problem, never had nobody that couldn't make change. It's always been a perfect experience, and I love this place for that. And if you have a Whataburger in your city, feel blessed, because Whataburger is the greatest fast food restaurant outside of Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A does an awesome job as well, even though their owner is a little out there on a couple of issues, but that's on him. But yeah, Whataburger is wonderful. They always have it's always a good experience at Whataburger.
What are you doing at Whataburger?
I feel like they should be I feel like they should be giving me money for this, because I'm giving them great publicity right now.
No, I ain't never heard of Whataburger, but I don't eat them either, so that's probably one reason.
Whataburger, we found out about Whataburger when we used to go out as a family, go out and watch the Houston Comets. Back in that day, when my buddy Coach Chancellor was the head coach there, we used to go out there and watch them play. It was big. Whataburger's big in Texas. I guess that's where it originated. But that's what we found out about Whataburger. And ever since then, they have just spread out everywhere. And they have actually two down here on the coast where I live. And it's a beautiful thing. But, you know. I'm supposed to be on a diet, so while I'm making myself hungry, I'm hurting myself at this point. So, yeah, moving right along to our final topic of the day, I wanted to get into Shots Fired, the latest episode. Did you get a chance to watch it this week? Oh, my goodness. It's getting better every week. I love it. Getting better every week. They started off with Pastor Janae, with two mothers of the movement, at a little TV show. And I love the parallels that they're going through. Like, as far as, like, this, you know, one mother, they both think that, honestly, they're both after the same thing, but both going at it in different ways. You know, at the end, where they're talking outside and they talk about how they're, you know, how do you get through it? And they talk about the music helps them. You know, both listen to the same song, they come to find out. The mother of Jesse Carr, the white mother, you know, clearly thinks that Pastor Janae and her group have an ulterior motive in this, and they're not really giving her son the attention that he deserves. Joey Campbell's mother just seemingly happy that anybody's giving her son, you know, some support right now.
Because nobody was even talking right. About it. They act like it didn't happen.
But did you notice right at the end of that moment where the Joey Campbell's mother reached out to the Jesse Carr's mother and said, "Hey, I'm off on Thursdays if you ever want to get coffee."
That lady was like, "Hug, kiss, good luck with your life.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Love you. Love you, but bye-bye."
I'm like, she is not being supportive right now. I tried to explain that to somebody else that watched the show. He was like, wasn't that nice? I was like, no. Did you not read between the lines? That lady was like, "I'm not dead fooling with you."
Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Moving on past that, you get into Officer Breeland. And, you know, last week, I know I said on here that I thought, you know, although he was looking like he was going to be foul, I thought it was going to be a twist and he was going to wind up being a good person. He clearly showed that that's not the case in this episode. Officer Beck, who was being, you know, brought up on charges of killing Jesse Carr, the white male that started out this whole series, he confronts Officer Breeland about drugs that was placed in Jesse Carr's car. You know, that wasn't there when he had to stop, and this, that, and the other. Want to know what the cause of that? So they have a little scuffle, and at the end of the episode, if you haven't seen it, it's a big moment. Sanaa Lathan's character Ash gets pulled over. Officer Breeland winds up taking over the call on that, and basically, you know, says, "Hey, basically letting her know I know about your daughter's situation, where you might be losing your kid in a divorce,
and if you don't stop bothering us,
right?
I'm make this worse than it is already for
you. Basically.
And when she started tearing up, I was like, dude, this ain't the one to go there with, because she a little cray cray, just a little bit. And she, no, you don't make this worse. And I was mad at the reason the officer pulled her over, talking about you didn't do stop at a yield or something. And I was like, last I checked, you don't stop at a yield. And then when the other officer pulled up, you didn't know what it was at first. I was like, now what did he make a radio call for backup? And so then when he get out, I was like, oh, this been a setup from the jump. But my problem, Shannon Redden 2.0, Ash, what's the guy's name?
Preston.
They going to stop wandering around this city by themselves, a town or whatever. They do single, they be out running around by, you know, alone too much with the way this situation is. They be like, nah, I'll go check on this by myself. Nah, I'll do this by myself. Y'all need to stay together as much as possible.
Right. Yeah, I love how in the middle of all this, Preston's out there making that old man nervous on the golf course. He done called the governor on him.
For no reason.
And, yeah. when they pull up, they're actually together at this point, Preston and Ash, and they're going to investigate the other old gentleman, you know, in this old gentleman's club that they basically have where they're all, you know, honorary deputies or whatever. And the sheriff pulls up and basically intervenes on them.
No.
Yeah.
Not so fast.
I love the way they ended it where, and I forgot the one part where Ash goes and meets with the officer who was on site, and then they have him as being involved in the Joey Campbell murder. Or at least in the area, and he's been transferred to a precinct out of town.
Hold on, she in the middle of nowhere. Right,
she goes and visits him, and she clearly sees, even though he didn't give her much, she can read people. And I mean, you can read it while watching the show. You can read it.
Yeah, something else to that.
And I just love at the end when Joey Campbell's mother's laying there with her son, her other son, who is now at the white school.
That's the best part.
Yes.
When he's reading that research paper that he had to do.
Yes, he's reading the paper as Emmett Till. And he's going through, you know, Emmett Till and his new roommate, Trayvon Martin. And they're having their little discussion about why they're both there in heaven. And then in comes at the end, their new roommate, their new bunkmate or whatever they call it. And it happens to be Joey Campbell. But the story that he tells as he's going through that is a tearjerker. And you know,
well, it didn't tearjerk me, but I was like, oh man, that was good.
But as he's reading the story, everything's going on around him. Like, you know, it showed Beck, Officer Beck, sitting on his couch, seeing the protests going on, you know, with Jesse Carr's protests where, you know, basically they're calling him a killer. And his wife standing behind him, all that good stuff. Then you got the officer that Ash went and interrogated or talked to at the new precinct that got transferred that was involved in Joey Campbell murder. You see him committing suicide. Jesse Carr's mother also, you know, evaded suicide. I don't think it was at that point, but at some point during the show, she, you know, looked like she was going to try and commit suicide by basically smoking herself out in the garage, sitting in the car, and then she looks in the mirror. And
I kept saying, don't do it, lady.
Yeah.
Don't you do it. So, don't you do it.
Yeah, it's getting more and more interesting by the day. I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm getting a little mad a little bit because, okay, number two, besides them running around alone, why, when she came, when it hit her, what they were saying earlier in like a couple of episodes ago about doing tours in whatever little area where the black, I guess it's a project area.
Right.
She just thought they was like, oh, it was they time to work. When it hit her, that she was like, oh, y'all taking these adjunct police officers on tours so they can do whatever because they rich. Why would you say that to the man? Face.
It's almost like she was so stunned that it just kind of came out. It just came out in a moment.
It didn't kind of come out because she ran on. I thought you was one of them. I'm gonna nail you. And I'm like, dude, this ain't it. You should have been like, oh, okay. You put that in your back pocket and then add that to y'all ability board that y'all building up. But I was like, they just. And I guess there's some people that will do that, but I just feel like she would be smarter than to just blurt out everything that you know. And I'm worried about the preacher later is dirty. I'm worried.
Yes,
because you see at the end. She got in the man to kill that boy.
Yeah, the officer, I can't even remember his name, but it comes out that the young man that saw everything that they've been hiding out actually identifies who is the one that killed Joey Campbell. And at the end of the episode, he's the big donor for the education fund.
That want to open a private prison.
Right. And at the end of the episode, you see Pastor Janae get in the car with him. And I said, oh, didn't see that one. Didn't see that
one. And she didn't look scared or intimidated. And she got in the car. And I was like, boy, she dirty.
She just fixed
her. They might definitely try to trick me.
She just fixed her little skirt and sat on down like, hey.
Like, this ain't good. And my spirit was troubled. So that was troubling. Again, this has been, it's been pleasantly, like, a good show. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I thought it would be, you know, good seeing the perspective of, like, okay, what happened if a black guy shoots a white kid? But then they just have went so far beyond that. I'm like, okay, let's keep going on this ride and see where we go.
Yeah, it's a ride that I'm not wanting to get off on yet. I'm enjoying, you know, what's going down each episode. So, can't wait for this week. Because this week, Jesse Carr's mother actually confronts Officer Beck.
So she better sit down somewhere. Yeah. Officer Beck needs to come clean. He needs to see right now that these people are not on your side. While they saying whatever. And why are you trying to go in and fight this man? I don't know what he was thinking on that, but...
Yeah, his brothers in arms are not there for him. So he needs to go ahead and I think he will. And him and Preston look like they have a little meeting or a talk coming up in the previews for the next episode. So hopefully, you know, we get some clarity on really what his thoughts are.
Well, when he ran into him when they was running,
I was just about to say, like, that.
You should have just kept running then, because I was like, I'm not following you. I'm like, really? Who says that?
Yeah.
And why are you running in that part of town in some woods and you're new to the area? Once more, and again, that's a good way for you to come up missing. I'm just saying.
Tell him. Oh, now, is we finished or is we done?
Is we finished or is we done?
Well, yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see where this goes. Empire comes back this week, so I'll get to see Shots Fired and Empire back-to-back new episodes, so that'll be nice. Fox is doing something.
Where Empire been?
They took a hiatus last week. I don't know for what reason, but yeah, they took a hiatus last week. They showed an old episode last week.
Well, yeah, Fox is doing it big, folks. Looking forward to it. This is futuristic, but Marlon Wayans got a new show coming out called Marlon. OMG, look up the trailer. I think it's going to be awesome.
Oh, wow, I got to check it out. I hadn't even heard anything about this. Got to go.
Oh, yeah, it's coming out in August, according to the trailer. So that looks like that's going to be good. We're getting close to summer. The Justice League, Wonder Woman. Have you seen the trailer for Thor?
Yes.
She's like, yes, worked with him.
Yes, that's going
to be. Everybody like, what? Why are you not scared of the Incredible Hulk? I love that trailer. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's going to be. Yes!
We work together! Really? I'm like, you know, the Hulk don't remember nothing. He just trying to bam people. Mm. The Hulk smash. That's all he about. So that's coming out this summer. Her Fate of the Furious had good reviews.
It's kicking butt in the box office.
I
know that's the Dwayne Johnson effect, but still.
Right. Should be fun. Should be a fun movie summer.
Yes, I'm excited. Looking forward to it. But I think that's going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it is great to be a Florida Gator, Davis.
And welcome back. And this has been the McAfee Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.